From Delray Beach, Florida, welcome to Life Change Weekend with Dr. Dino Padrone. Hear the stories of individuals who, through their conversion experiences, books written, ministry served, special truths from Scripture, or trips taken, tell their story. These stories and teachings are life-changing. So thank you for joining us, and get set for some life change. Here is your host, Dr. Dino Padrone.
So good to be on with all of you today. I trust that you're having a wonderful weekend. And of course, on the weekends, we always are delighted to have with us a guest, and of course, so with us today. And next week, we're doing two in a row here with Pastor Bob Kadlecic, our dear friend from Montrose, doing a wonderful work there with his ministry. And Pastor Bob, welcome to the program today. And I'm looking forward to the topic, but it's good to have you on, my friend.
Well, it's good to be with you and with our listeners.
It's been a while since you and I have done a recording here. We do a lot together, but it's good to have hear your voice and have you back on. Now, the topic today comes right out of the very beginning of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So what is significant about the Bible starting out that way, Pastor?
Well, if you don't have a good foundation, everything kind of falls apart. And so the Bible is setting the foundation not only of the book, but of our lives. And it's saying, introducing the main character of the story and the main character in our lives, and that's God. And a lot of people, I think we often have this faulty assumption that my life is about me. I mean, it's my story, it's my life. But right off the bat, the Bible really kind of sets the tone and lets us know that no. In the beginning, God. In fact, we kind of understand this even with children. I think children babies naturally think the world revolves around them, you know? But when we get older, we mature. In fact, if someone thinks the world revolves around them, we say, how childish, how immature. And so I think it's important how the Bible starts off with God, not with us, helping us to understand that, you know, our life, the foundation of our life, the one who determines what's right and wrong, what's best for me, is the main character in the story, which is not me, it's God.
Yeah. Now, in this passage in Genesis 1, later it says in verse 26, let us make man in our image and our likeness. And of course, when we look at the creation story, we see that God had intended a man and a woman. So that statement in itself, in our own image, in God's image, why is that significant?
Well, yeah, what you believe about yourself and what you believe about God are the most important things about you. They just set the whole course of your life. And I think here we are put in our proper place. We are not the creator, and there are things in our culture which really are focused on like we are gods. Things like who determines what's right and wrong. And, you know, throughout human history, if you were to ask anyone who determines what's right and wrong, they would say, well, that's something only the gods determine. But our culture says, no, we all determine right and wrong. So our culture kind of puts God-like qualities on us, like who defines reality and who defines who I am and my identity. Well, we have these sayings like, you can be anything you want to be. Well, that's actually not true. I wanted to be an NBA basketball player, but, you know, I only had three problems. I was 5'8" and slow and a bad shot, you know, but other than that, you know, and it didn't matter how hard I practiced and how much I tried, I couldn't be what I wanted to be because I'm not God. And again, that's something God-like. So here in this passage, it makes it clear we're not gods, but yet we're not just animals either. You know, again, our culture has this, paradox of attributing things like morality to us, like we can determine those things like a god would, but then also just telling us we're just complicated machines or really smart monkeys. We're just animals. And that's clearly not true when you look at the world around us. You know, I love animals and nature shows and things like that. And, you know, different animals are faster than others or stronger. But I was looking up about how smart we are compared to animals, because I often see things like, I saw a story about the African gray parrot, Alex. He died September 6, 2007, so quite a while ago. But Alex was able to learn and know the meaning of just over 100 words. Now, some birds can learn up to 700 words or more, but that's mostly mimicry. They don't understand what they mean. But Alex the parrot was so smart, he knew 100 words. He could count to six. Chimpanzees are similar. Dolphins are similar. 100 words maybe, count to, you know, to 10 or something like that. But people aren't just capable of learning 100 words. The average individual, if starting from a child, can learn 6 to 7 languages. The average English speaker in America knows one language and 42,000 words. And so you're talking about the animals, you know, the smartest ones learn 100 words, and humans can learn 250,000 words. I mean, that's not just, I mean, if you're 10 times stronger than any other animal, that would be, we'd almost say that was an alien. There is no animal on earth 10 times stronger than any other animal. There is no animal on earth 10 times faster than any other animal. And yet we are told we're animals, and we're over 1,000 times smarter. I mean, that's not an evolutionary leap. I mean, that's that's a completely different design. And so as we look at reality, we look at Genesis 1:26, we realize, I think, intuitively, instinctively, what it's saying is true. We're not creatures, but we're not the creator. We're something else. And it's described here as we are made in God's image. And just, you know, and then in that, later in that verse, he says we're given authority over the animals. And that's really true. I mean, you think about an elephant, you know, the largest, strongest land animal, can weigh 16,000 pounds, run 25 miles an hour, faster than only a handful of the fastest men. And there's a 500,000 elephants in the world today. And how many people would it take to kill every single one? It would just take one man. And the only thing that would stop one man from killing 500,000 elephants is other people. And it's because we have this God-given image and authority and power and intelligence, and God made us to rule. And with that great power comes great responsibility. Elephants don't sit around discussing global warming. You know, dogs and whales won't stand before God to be judged for the sounds they make or the things they do. We will, because we're made in the image of God.
So that makes it very significant, doesn't it?
Yeah, human beings are just amazing when you sit down and think about it. It's really stunning.
Yeah, it really is. You're listening into Life Change Weekend. This is Dino Padron chatting with you here from Delray Beach, Florida. And joining us from Pennsylvania is our good friend, Pastor Bob Kadlecic. And we're talking today about the image of God. Let me remind you to pray for our radio ministry. Many of you are familiar with our broadcast, where we're at. We are on radio television on WPEL, Life Change Today. We're on television on several channels now throughout the Southeast. Life Change Weekend is on WJSA-FM, Jersey Shore, Pennsylvania, at 4:20 p.m. and on Saturdays at 6:30 a.m. Then we have translators in Binghamton, 106.3, Elmira, 91.7 FM, Endicott, 94.7 FM, 95.5, Sarah, Pennsylvania, 92.1, And then on the weekdays at Danville with our good friends in the Danville area, 96.7 at 4:20 p.m. WPGO at Horseheads. And then Life Change Weekend is on Sundays at 7 o'clock in New Berlin, Williamsport, and WPGM. Life Change also is now on Mission Go International Radio, which covers a number of states in the Union and overseas. 1:11 a.m., 6:11 a.m., 12:30 p.m., and 7:15 p.m. Then, of course, we're on Gospel Radio East Africa, originating in Uganda and covering East Africa. Plus, we have some other radio stations we're on now, WDYT in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and other places. So pray for our radio ministry and our television ministry as well as it continues to grow, and we're very thankful for it. Again, our topic today is very important, the image of God, the whole idea of these implications of the image of God. Pastor Bob Kadlecic is our teacher today. Saturdays, we always spend time interviewing people, some who have just recently come to Christ. And we have two that come on a regular basis, Rick Ramsey and Pastor Bob Kadlecic. And Pastor Bob, I like this title a lot that we're dealing with today. And so we have looked at the significance of being made in the image of God and some of the implications. How does the image of God apply to both men and women?
Yeah, you know, it is great to notice in Genesis chapter 1 that, you know, in the image of God, he made them male and female. He made them. There is no lesser or greater reflection of God in men or women. Jesus obviously became a man, but God the Father, God the Holy Spirit are not male. They're not human. As people would say today, their pronouns are he, him, but they're just not physically male. And so God's reflection is equal in both men and women. And we see this thread throughout the Bible because a lot of people today in the West, at least, they have this, you know, accusation against Christianity that it's oppressive of women and that, you know, we hold them back and don't teach that, you know, we teach women are somehow subservient to men. But the Bible is very different from that. In fact, there's a woman in our church, Kara Foster, who recently just enlightened me. She said, "Do you know who the first person is who gave God a name?" And I said, "No." And she said, "Hagar. Hagar calls God Elroy, the God who sees me." Hmm. And Hagar was a woman, a slave, and an African. Mm-hmm. And so in Genesis 16, you have this intersection of race, social status, and gender, where God sees and loves and helps someone that society would say was less than. But God says, "No, no, no. I love her. I see her. I'm elevating her. She is also made in my image. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. All human life is sacred, men and women. And we need to value all people like God does." And I do think in our society today, there's this war between the sexes. And sometimes it's men that are told that men are less than, and men are not as good, and men don't measure up. But in the Bible, we don't see that at all. We see a God who says, and even in the New Testament, I'm sure you're familiar, Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither nor slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ. Now, he's not denying that there are men and women, because he's not denying that there were Jews and Gentiles, or there were slaves in that culture, or free men. I mean, he's saying, yeah, there are all these things, and that's the point. There's all these distinctions that people make, but we can be one in Christ and be equal heirs in the kingdom, equal children of God, and equal parts of his family. Although we do have different roles, and that's probably for a different time to talk about that. You know, even the first person Jesus declared, that declares Jesus to be the Messiah, is the Samaritan woman at the well in John 4. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the first witnesses of his resurrection. And in Jewish culture at that point, you know, a woman's testimony, it was like two women were worth the testimony of one man. But biblically, we see, no, God has women be the ones who give testimony first, because there is neither Jew nor Gentile, male or female. We are one in Christ. And so that image of God in Genesis 1 really is an important and countercultural corrective to what many people have believed and lived throughout human history. And it's really the reason that we have any kind of close to equality in the Western world today, is because it's a Christian idea. It wasn't from something that the West got from some other pagan culture. It was the Christian ideal of this image of God, equal in both men and women, that has really helped us make some of the strides we've made today.
Yeah, that's a really good answer. And the whole idea of Hagar there, I think, is an excellent thought, Pastor. So how do we practically help live out the truth that both men and women equally reflect the image of God?
Yeah, I think we need to resist the urge to be combative, I think, when it comes to gender roles. And I do think there are roles that God has designed for us. And maybe we are getting into this a little bit today. First of all, women are not to submit to all men. You know, it's wives, a wife that is told to submit to her husband. But I think realizing that this is a beautiful thing and not a terrible thing, and also realizing that this is something that is commanded for the wife to do, not the husband. So the husband is commanded to love his wife. He's not commanded to make his wife submit. And I think a lot of the negative fighting that might be had between the sexes is when men are trying to make women do their job and women are trying to get men to do their job, instead of focusing on what God has called each of us to do individually. And so I think for husbands and for men in general, we need to focus on what God has called us to do. I think women also need to focus what God has called them to do. Doesn't mean we can't talk to each other, but I think practically speaking, we can reflect the image of God to one another by just respect as well, and not talking down and not stereotyping. So that's something that used to be, you know, a lot toward women. It was illegal for women to run marathons back in the 1960s and earlier because they were the weaker sex. They thought a woman would die if she ran a marathon. But, you know, obviously that's not true, you know, and I would put my money on a woman under 20 running any race over any man over 50. You know, I would say the under 20 woman would probably win, you know. So just really understanding, not having these generalizations toward the other sex. All men are brutes and, you know, whatever, all women are this or that, and just recognizing that we're all equally valuable and made in God's image.
Yeah, there's a lot to be said with that, Pastor, that's for sure. And I think it also brings up another issue here. You're listening into Life Change Weekend. This is Dina Padron coming to you, our guest on today, who's a regular with our program. It's Pastor Bob Kadlisek. We're talking about the image of God. And Pastor, let's think for just a few moments about another issue that in many quarters today is very controversial, but it's very important to address it biblically, concerning race. The subject of race has been so divisive. How does the image of God affect how we see people of different races and ethnicities?
There was a couple years ago where if you were to stand up in church and say Black Lives Matter, people would be mad at you. And if you were to get up and say White Lives Matter or All Lives Matter, people would also be mad at you. And yet, aren't all those things true? And I think the problem is when we spend too much time watching CNN or ABC or Fox or whatever, Twitter, YouTube, and we don't spend enough time reading God's word. And making the Bible our standard. And when you swim in the sewer, and you'll smell bad, And our culture, racially, in my lifetime, the last 10 years have been the most racially, well, maybe that's not true, but it's definitely on a downward spike. When I was a child, I saw quite a bit of racism, and then it seemed to get better, and now it seems to get worse. And I do think we need to understand that there is only one race. It's the human race. And no matter what other people are saying and how heated things get, we need to recognize that the Bible says that all men and women are made in the image of God and made equal to God. And we may have mentioned this on the show before, but Numbers chapter 12 is a really interesting passage, because Moses' first wife passes away, and so Moses remarries another woman who Numbers 12:1 says is Cushite, which means she's Ethiopian, which means she's black. And Miriam, Moses' sister, and Aaron, his brother, they begin to talk against Moses because of his Cushite wife. And so what's God's response? Well, God says, you know, Moses is special to me. And he says, Aaron and Miriam, you're wrong. And he gives Miriam leprosy. And it says he makes her white as snow. And I can't help but think that he's saying to Miriam, you're upset that Moses married a black woman? You want white? I'll make you white. I'll make you white with leprosy. And Moses has to pray that God would make her less white, heal the leprosy. And so there's interracial marriage there that God is coming down and saying, absolutely, interracial marriage is good. And so I think we need to understand, just like with women, people say the Bible says things against women, and it's just not true. There is an image of God that is in women just as much as men. People might say that the Bible is racist or against certain, but it's just not true. And there is an image of God as much in the black race as in the Asian race, as in the white race, as in the whatever race you want to just come up with. We're made in God's image and special and loved by God just as much as any other race.
You're listening into Life Change Weekend. This is Dina Padron talking to you along with Pastor Bob Kadlecek. We're talking about the image of God, and we're getting a lot of wonderful teaching and very practical advice today. Pastor, we have less than 2 minutes to go here. I thought what we would do here is I'm going to ask you one question. We had other things we wanted to talk about today. I think we'll put them at the next week's program, because you'll be on next week's program dealing with the same subject. So let me just close off here. Again, we have about a minute and a half to go with this. How does the image of God affect the mission of the church?
Well, our goal as a church is more and better disciples, and that means to make people to be more like Jesus, to make more people more like Jesus. And so that means every area of our lives, helping people reflect the image of God better. Essentially, the mission of the church is like rubbing all the dirt and filth off the mirror that God has made of human beings. And so that's why God's word is so important, to help us see what does it really look like to be like God. And we see that in Jesus Christ. And it starts with making him our Savior and making him our Lord, and then trying to be like him. And if we're like him, we won't see different colors, we won't see different genders, we won't see all these things that people fight over. We will transcend that, because we will be more like God.
Well, this has been a wonderful topic today, dealing with the image of God. And next week here on Life Change Weekend, next Saturday, we'll deal with the same topic and we'll continue on. And Pastor Bob, very good to have you on. Have a wonderful weekend. God bless every one of you.
You have been listening to Life Change Weekend. Life Change is brought to you through the International Dino Padron Ministry, which includes radio, television, live stream programming, podcasts, literature, online education, the support of indigenous ministries, and progressive approaches to help people grow their faith. To receive our complimentary monthly newsletter, send your postal or email address to dinopadrone@gmail.com or dinopadroneministries.org. That's dinopadrone@gmail.com or dinopadroneministries.org. Stay tuned to our weekday Bible study, Monday through Friday. Thank you for joining us, and we'll be with you next week on Life Change Weekend.